The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Hump Day Hotline, brought to you by Fichtel, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller, sitting alongside my very good friend, Jay Spence the King. It's Thanksgiving Eve. It's Hump Day. The Bills are coming off a victory. We smoked the turkey. We ate it. It was already. It was great.
Oh, you already ate it. I saw you smoked it, and you said you were going to give it. Oh, you're going to eat another one?
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah. No, so, I saw you say that you were going to let it sit for a minute and let it kind of do its thing, man. It looked good. I got to get out there one year when Beth is – or are you – so are you the grill master when it comes to this stuff, or is this Beth's corner?
We go back and forth, but Beth got me a smoker for Father's Day. So I have been learning to smoke things. So this was like the – so we do several – turkeys every year, just because we like turkey sandwiches for weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks. This year, the one I did today was a test run for family tomorrow, right? I didn't want to like do it for the first time ever tomorrow and then jack it up and ruin everybody's Thanksgiving. But we normally have a couple turkeys at Thanksgiving too. So we'll do one. My brother-in-law, Pete, will do one. So there's usually, normally I deep fry. And then we stopped doing that to go to the air fryer, like radon thing, where it's basically propane. It's not really an air fryer, but whatever, because it's much cleaner and easier. And this is the first year I've smoked one. And I got to say, dude, I just went up and cut the other breast that was cooled off. And as I cut into it, juice was just leaking out of the thing. Bang, so this might be the way
juicy. I love it. You know, I got to tell you, I respect you though too, because so in black houses, man, I go off on folk. Like, it's Thanksgiving. I respect what you just said. You just said, you know, I did the test run today because I don't want to try it on the family tomorrow. Listen, in too many black houses, man, people be trying all of this BS mac and cheese. Like, one time I went off on my mom a couple years ago, man. My sister, you know, she's a judge now, so she always has like these new friends and they try these new casseroles and stuff. In black houses, we respect y'all, but we don't do the casserole like that. She did like this cornbread casserole type deal. And I went off with my mom. And you know, I don't go off with my mom. I went off with my mom. You don't do that shit on Thanksgiving. You
Jay got 364
days. Fam, you got 364 days out the year to try some fancy shit. You don't do that on Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've been waiting all year to do this. I've been on a diet for 3 months. Don't nobody want none of this casserole. Man, give me the mac and cheese that I've been waiting for. That's what I want.
That's hysterical. Yeah, it's I'm not super picky at Thanksgiving. I'm super picky in life. Just as far as the foods that I generally consume, I'm more of a carnivore. I'm a carnivore. It's not a Thanksgiving thing. It's not that I don't like, you know, broccoli casserole on Thanksgiving. I don't like broccoli, so I'm not eating it, right?
But see, I'm willing to try it on other days. It's just that Thanksgiving is the day. Do that on Thanksgiving. You can tomorrow with the leftovers, it'll bring that thing out. I try it up real quick, you know, Sunday for the game. Let's get it. But Thanksgiving, I specifically all year, I want my sweet potato pie. I want my mac and cheese. Like, there's certain things that I just need on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I could get down at your house with those are the things you guys are having. So we do very similar things. But it's funny to me as well. And it always comes up too. Turkey is trash. Like, turkey is the worst thing that like is at Thanksgiving. And I don't know how many times. And it, And there's always a bevy of responses on whatever social media platform it is that you're doing it wrong. If your turkey is dry and trash, you're cooking it wrong. Like, it doesn't have to be. It can actually be pretty fantastic. So, yeah.
You know, I like Bruce's take this year too. Bruce said, you know, they're eating, I think he said they were eating ribs and I forget what the size were that he posted, but yeah, eat what you want for Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be like the traditional stuff, but I'm with you. I got to get that smoked. You said what?
Antha's doing a jerk. I saw on Twitter that Antha's doing a jerk rub turkey. And I was like, oh, talk to me about that. Let's talk more about
it. We might have to get call after the show. Yeah, let's shoot him a message real quick. Jerk turkey?
I'm going to West Seneca for Thanksgiving. Orchard Park is in between us. I might have to just
have him cut some up. Because when he sends me the jerky that he sends, just have him, you know, go ahead and do that too.
Well, welcome everybody into the show. Thank you for joining us for the Hump Day Hotline, a special Thanksgiving Eve Hump Day Hotline that reunites Jay Spence the King and Joe Miller. Haven't been together here in a couple of weeks. We were supposed to be together last week and it just didn't work out, which is fine. I was traveling. It was kind of nuts. But thank you to everybody that's jumping into the comment section and listening to us live. Please like and subscribe. Whatever platform you are on, we are also Super Chat Live. There's a thumbs button on YouTube. If you could just go ahead and hit that button for us.
Hump it.
Man, I am out of rhythm, out of practice. Hump that like button. And we're going to go ahead and hear from our sponsor, Ficta, Endel, and Elmer. So please sit tight.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision keeps pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at ficta.com. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
The one and only John Fina bringing you the information about Ficta. And if you have not, if you are in the Buffalo area and you have not yet had LASIK corrective vision, please give them a call. We appreciate them. It's Thanksgiving and we are thankful for their sponsorship, not only of this show, but of all the shows that they've sponsored this year and just for being a part of Buffalo Rumblings. Now, let's talk Buffalo Bills. Let's put the Jets to bed, talk about a couple small ancillary things, talk about the Eagles for a minute, and get people on with their holiday. So real quick, I think the question that I want to ask you is, how is that Jets game settling with you? Like, there was a feeling for me of, thank God, right? Like thank God we won this game, because I didn't think we were going to lose, but I was a little bit concerned that we might not win. The Jets give us a hard time. Josh Allen has a hard time. I loved what Robert Saleh said in his post-game press conference. You know, what happened? And he said, Josh didn't play hero ball. We always play him in a way that we expect him to just turn into a hero. So he basically gave the script away. We force him to be patient. He hates it. We know it. And then he makes a mistake. But how are you feeling now that it's been several days kind of looking forward to the Eagles? Where's your headspace at?
I think I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, I'm not back on board of saying like, yo, the Bills are back. Josh is back. Right. Joe Brady is the answer. But I saw enough changes Sunday that made me say, oh, that was different. Like, and it's the same plays. So the same playbook that Ken Dorsey was using is the same one that Joe Brady's using. But the difference was he called plays in different situations. They added some little wrinkles in there to make things a little bit more confusing for the defense. And I think for me, if this is the way it's going to be called going forward, I'm confident that the Buffalo Bills will still make the playoffs. But if this was just a sample and it kind of goes back to what we've seen for the early part of the season, I might have to give this game coming up to the Eagles, man. The Eagles aren't, they haven't quite figured it out yet. Like, they don't look great. They're the worst looking 9-1 team I've ever seen, but they're 9-1. They have a good run defense. They have a great run defense. I'll say that. But otherwise, offensively, they haven't figured it out. Even defensively against the pass, they haven't quite figured it out. They give up big passes all the time. So for me, the question for me going into this week and forward is this the real Joe Brady? And then is Josh Allen really back? Or is this, I know he said it during the game. He said that he feels like he's effing back, but
right.
I don't know.
I think I'm in the same space. Like there's a great deal of, I want to believe, right. I want to be back into, the mode that we've been in for the last several years, but there's just this measure of Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, like all these teams that are lined up, the Dolphins. And it's like, dear Lord, you know what I mean?
It's a gauntlet,
It's a gauntlet, and we have not played well. Now, it's not to say that they can't flip the switch and they can't, pull the trigger and be who they used to be. I think there's a great deal right now of expectation inside that locker room that, you know, we maybe not have figured some things out, but we're getting on the right track. We've taken the step that we potentially need to take. Do you want me to read that? As Daryl Fletcher with the chat, you can throw that back up there. As a Philly resident, I see plenty of Eagles football. They can be had. The Bills have the tools. They've been a bad road team, though. That's true, and that actually fits. I think the thing that concerns me about the Eagles in this game, as much as you feel like, and Daryl said kind of the same thing, that they can be, you know, you can get to them. They just seem incredibly balanced. They just seem very, what I saw, oh no, it was in the presser. It was in Sean McDermott's presser today. They've got 15 touchdowns in the air, 15 touchdowns on the ground. And it's like, you're not really sure where it's going to come from, but this Bills team, the win was needed. If they didn't win this game and they dropped to 5-6, I mean, I don't even know that I'm finishing the season doing my show. Like that's where I'm at on that. I'm like, just hang it up. Like if you guys are going to quit, I'm going to quit too. You know what I mean? Like, but there's an aspect of like, I don't know that they're back, but this Sunday was a step in the right direction against a bad football team. So they did what they needed to do on offense. Now they need to do what they need to do on defense, right?
Well, yes and no, because I think I'm one of the guys that's on the side that I don't think the defense is the problem. And I know what DVOA says after week four when we lost Matt Milano and Daquan Jones and everybody else that we lost. I know what the stats show, and I don't think the defense has been the problem. The defense has kept us in games when the offense hasn't been scoring. The defense has been on the field for a long time. When you give the defense four more drives in the game, that's going to skew their numbers because they have more opportunities to be beat. So I'm not upset at the defense at all. I think to deal with the injuries they've had, the defense has been phenomenal. And I mean that. Like I Sunday during the game, I'm like, you can't make me not love this defense. It's the offense that has to win me back. Because now Sunday they did. And one thing I wanted to comment on with what you just said, we beat a bad team, but they don't look bad when they play us. Every time for the last games that we played the Jets, the Buffalo, you even texted me before the game about a bet that you wanted to place. And I'm like, that looks like wasted money. Because it was like Josh Allen, I think, what was it, two touchdowns? Or
it was Josh Allen anytime score, Dalton Kincaid anytime score, and Steph Diggs anytime score. And I was like, so Josh runs one, a TD pass to Kincaid and Steph, and it was like plus 100. It was plus 1,500. I was like,
man. It was like something. It looks something. But I'm like, I don't know. And just based off of history, I'm like, the last three games, Josh had two touchdowns for five interceptions and just over – I think he had 58 or 59% completion percentage. That's horrible. And that's not talking about the fumbles.
Yeah, not great.
So again, like the defense or the offense coming out this week, looking the way they look, you hung 32. Well, not quite 32 because of the deep, but you scored like you felt like it. Whenever you wanted to score, you scored. I was a little disappointed that first drive because I felt like with us getting that turnover, we should have got a touchdown in that first drive. But okay, boys need to wake up. I'm with it. They did a good job. I need to see that going forward.
So on that kind of front, you know, the Brady bump. and like I literally was like, the Brady bump. So you're right. Do we believe? Are you a believer in the Brady bump?
I am. Again, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to jump on board right now and say yes. But I will say the thing that impressed me the most is, you made a comment about this. When he came out in his presser, I believe it was yesterday, and he said, I just wanted Josh to be Josh.
It was Monday.
That's all we've been asking for. And I felt like that's what everybody has been wanting when Ken Dorsey was here. I thought that was the reason Ken Dorsey was given the job. You know what I mean? Like, and I said this on Code of Conduct. So many people forget why he was the one that was chosen. Ken Dorsey was handpicked for that job. He wasn't like, this wasn't an interview from outside. This was somebody that they've had as a quarterback's coach. They had him in different positions. They've known this guy for years. So he's come up through the ranks with those guys. He wasn't. So who's to say that, you know, it was a comfort thing? Like, yeah, I want my friend to coach me. Sometimes that relationship just doesn't work. And sometimes when your friend becomes your boss in some aspects, I know Josh is making the money, but when your friend becomes that guy, sometimes, and I'm not saying they have a bad relationship. I'm saying sometimes the working relationship doesn't benefit the same way as your personal relationship. And from what I'm seeing already, it's just been one game. It's been one game. So that's why I said it's a small sample size. So I can't sit here and say that Joe Brady is that guy. But in one game, you see a completely different version of Josh Allen emotionally. You see a completely different level of passion. You see a leader that's in people's faces, and he just got everybody involved. Hell, I was involved from my couch. I'm jumping up and running through the damn wall. Like, I haven't seen Josh like that since. I mean, when's the last time you've seen Josh like that?
It's been a minute. And I know that there's shots of him on the sideline that the media doesn't necessarily show. Like, there's been times during the season, this season, where it's like, oh, the side of Josh Allen that the media is not willing to show you, blah, 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 blah. I think for me, as it pertains to the Brady bump, you know, Joe Brady has experience calling plays, right? So not only does he have experience calling plays at the pro level, but he was a big part of that. And I know a lot of people know this already, you know, the Joe Burrow experience down at LSU when they won the national championship. So he understands that. And I'm not here to say, because we've seen it, I know that Ken Dorsey has energy, but Ken Dorsey was new to play calling, and play calling is a different. It's not like just because you're a quarterback's coach, you can be offensive coordinator and you can call plays. There's a big reason why Andy Reid calls the plays. There's a big reason in Kansas City. He just has a feel for the game. It's what he does. So he wants to hand over all of the brain work, right? And all of the monotonous stuff that goes with being the coordinator to somebody that he can make an executive of that area. And then he's going to call the plays on Sunday. So all of that to say this. The word I think that, and this is just me brainstorming right now, as nobody's figured it out yet, we don't know necessarily what the end is going to be. The word is synergy. I feel like Josh and Dable had a synergy. Even when Dable wasn't doing necessarily making good plays, or there was time we felt like he was like not in sync with the game, there was still a synergy between them. And it just feels like the season started in 2022, and there was a lot of energy coming off of maybe the old stuff we used to do, because that's what they were doing. They were doing a lot of old stuff. And then it turned into Dorsey trying to be a little more, this is what I want to do. And I'm not sure Josh gravitated towards it. And if I was to boil it down to an analogy, it'd be like you and I. You and I bring in energy to this show. There's something about the two of us. Since the first time we did a live show together, the Hump Day Hotline on Buffalo Fanatics, a couple years ago. Feels like a bazillion years ago, but yes, it does years feel ago. Like a bazillion years. Right. But if it got to the point where one of us were just mailing it in, right? And our relationship has been forged and hardened by this show, because like, we know each other, like we can disagree. We can even be frustrated by what each other's saying. And when the lights go out, it's like, no, we're boys, right? All that to say this. If I go half of a season mailing it in, not paying attention to what the Bills are doing, like completely disconnected from you, maybe not responding to you the way that I want, that you want or are used to me responding, or when you're leading me, I don't take the bait, or if I'm leading you, or if I'm leading you down a road you don't want to go. At some point in time, a year later, if that goes on for a year, there's a point where you're going to be like, I don't know that I want to do this show anymore. You're not going to tell me that. Yeah. You're still going to tell people in the world, hey, Joe Miller's my guy. Like, we've been doing this show forever and the show must go on. But in the back of your mind, you're like, this sucks. Like, I can't.
And you know what? I feel like sorry for cutting you off there, but and maybe this is what you were going to say. I feel like the way people want to talk and how we have been talking about Stephon Diggs not wanting to be here, or maybe not want to be here, but like you said, just not feeling up to it anymore. I think that's what was up with Josh. And if that's where you were going, I apologize for taking your point.
No,
it was completely where he just looked like he was out there going through the motions, man. And it's like, dude, you're a quarter of a billion dollar football. Like, you play football, my dude. And that's why, like, I get where a lot of people were upset with me and my comments about, I guess they felt like I took Coach McDermott's comments out of context in his presser today. He was more so saying you have to earn the right to have fun. My thing is, I don't care what the situation is. It's football. It's a game. Mm-hmm. Stop making this thing into Like, we make this into spaceship or whatever. Like, you're trying to build a spaceship with no tools. And right. You know, like, this is Iron Man 1 in a cave. No, it's not. It's football. So, to me, it's like when you take that away and you sit here and you try to say, no, these dudes have to... Because, but doesn't it make sense though? It's like you're saying, like, anybody can go in the backyard and play football and have fun, but here you got to earn it. Okay, maybe I took it out of context, and maybe I'm just being a little negative. But the thing is, as a coach, no, I want my coach to come out and say, I want my guys playing to the best of their ability and enjoying themselves and having fun. That's how you win games, and that's how you win in the season. I don't want to hear you say, nope, you have to earn it. Man, this is not, come on, man. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play football. Do you know what kind of life I would be living if I got paid Josh Allen's salary to play a game? Are you kidding me?
Could you imagine you went down the road perfectly. So no, there's no apology for cutting me off. There's no apology for taking where I was going. Cause you perioded the end of that story or the end of that sentence perfectly. But even like to build on top of it. So like, I'm off and doing all these bad things, or not bad things, but for a year, and it's just and then add on top of it, you have to do a post show like press conference, right? And you're just, they're asking you why does the show suck, and you're like, I'm just answering the questions that Joe gives me.
I'm just here, man.
I don't know, like, I'm trying to execute the best that I can. There's just, you know, we lack energy, and maybe I'm thinking too much. And we're totally like making all this up, right? But it seems to maybe carry water. So Brady Bump, is there a possibility that this is what was needed, that maybe Ken Dorsey there was an energy lacking or missing? Yes, right? I mean, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed.
And it doesn't mean so afterwards, when everybody comes out and talks, when Josh says, no, I feel horrible, I love Ken Dorsey, he's a great guy, when Gabe Davis comes out and says, yo, that it broke my heart, he's a good dude, he's been here the entire time I've been here, so it hurt me to hear, I believe all those guys feel that way.
Yes, I agree.
But it still doesn't just because you love somebody still don't mean you're not happier when they're gone. That sounds so bad to say, but like, look how quickly the team has energy.
Yeah.
Like that fast. And you ever, like, there's an old joke. I'm trying to remember the comedian now, but he just talks about how, like, how men look at women at times. It's like, women don't know how to have fun. They just suck the fun out of life. And then he's like, you walk into a room full of guys and you just hear laughter. You just hear laughter. And then somebody's wife or girlfriend comes in and it's quiet. All the fun is gone. To me, that's what Ken Dorsey was to this team, man. It's like, as much as they love him, obviously, whatever guy they were talking about loved his wife or girlfriend when she came into the room.
Yeah,
but hey, we're gonna be quiet playing these cards. Yeah, I ain't gonna say too much. Yeah. And I feel like the team just didn't respond the way that they were used to responding. They weren't having fun the way they were used to. Bye. I love you, Ken. I hope you land on your feet. I hope you get another job elsewhere, man. I think he will. He probably end up in New York out with the Giants or something, or he'll get a job. Yeah. He's an amazing play caller. I just don't think that this situation worked. And I don't know if y'all remember this. I've been saying from day one, you don't get a rookie play caller for Josh Allen at this point of his career. And I think that this shows you why.
Yeah.
This shows you why.
I think you did. I think you did say that. I was very much on the bandwagon of just keep it as simple and as same as possible. And I think you were very much on the opposite side of that. Before we jump to the pressers and the energy, because I think there's a lot of wax on that candle. You know, I just want to bring up, as it pertains to the Brady Bump, we saw something this past weekend in a win against the Jets. Now, again, it was the Jets, and the defense was owning their offense, and the offense was able to execute against their defense. But the Bills, and I did not do the research, so please forgive me, everybody that's listening and watching. The Bills this past weekend against the Jets had 30 pass plays, 38 run plays, which from everything we know and understand is very different from how the Bills normally play football. Normally, it's probably the opposite of that, if not had weighted a little more towards the pass than even 38 to 30. Is that a recipe for success for this team? Are we at the point? We've talked. You and I have talked for years. We have to get an effective run game. Not run just to run. We don't want to run just to run, but we need an effective run game. It appears that between Cook, right, Latavius Murray, this Ty Johnson kid, and we haven't even seen Leonard Fournette yet, and who knows if Damian Harris is going to come back. They've got the right horses in the stable. The offensive line has found something that works. John Fina said they ran three different run plays the whole game, which was, of those 38 plays, there was three or four. It wasn't many. It wasn't like a huge swath of different run plays. It was three or four run plays they were very successful on. Is this a recipe? Am I wrong for not wanting to watch boring football? Because that's what I feel like run-centric football is. It's just like, yay.
But were you bored Sunday with the game?
I'll be honest with you. That's a great question, because when I heard it was 38-30 run versus pass, I was like, what?
Like when, where? And that's the point because I agree with you. The way it's been, when we've been running the ball directly into our blockers, it was, you know, or handing the ball off in a shotgun, delay handoff on third and four, and we lose a yard. That's very boring to watch.
But when
you're watching James Cook get 5.2 yards per carry, and then you see Ty Johnson get called up from the practice squad, and he breaks one against his old team, so it's a revenge game of sorts for him. And then you see Latavius, that's not boring, because the ball is moving, we're getting first downs, we're scoring points. So I think when you have balance, like you just talked about the Eagles, this was the first time all season, really since the Miami game, that we saw the Bills come out and be balanced. Everybody did their job. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, and it worked. So, you know, and this is the first game in a while for me that I can actually sit back and say, I think we won the special teams game. And Reggie Gilliam obviously had a lot to do with that. But, but dude, special teams every week, it seemed like we ignore that conversation. And to me, you know, when you go back to week one, we lose against the Jets not because of that. Josh threw four or three interceptions and a fumble, but we were still in position. Overtime, big kickoff return, right?
Then
you go back to 12 men on the field. I get it. We threw interceptions. We had turnovers. We shouldn't have even been close to the Broncos. But guess what? 12 men on the field was on a special teams play. Mm. You talk about – and so, again, then you go back to other moments. They give up the – what was that? Like the fake throw that they did.
Oh, Denver.
20-something yards.
Yep.
No, this last game, the Jets. They did a fake
punt. It was the Jets. It was the Jets game. That's right.
So it's like – so – I get it. We didn't lose this past Sunday, but there are moments. And how many penalties do you remember from like a 35-yard punt return or for a big run back on a kickoff that was called back due to a block in the back or a hold or just something foolish on special teams?
All of them.
So again, like
all of them,
because we're so focused on Josh and we're focused on saying that Diggs wants out of Buffalo and we're focused on everything else that we want to be focused on, we're ignoring the fact that our special teams is part of the reason why the Buffalo Bills don't have good starting position on the field. Mm. It's also part of the reason why the time of possession is terrible. If you don't believe me, go back and watch the games. I'm telling you, special teams is a big part of it. It's not just offense and defense. I've been saying this since season one of Hump Day Hotline, like Joe just talked about a bazillion years ago. I've been talking about was special teams.
No, there's definitely something wrong, and it's something that's not being talked about enough, even from a national media standpoint. There's been a lot of hiccups, and it's hard for me because, there's something about Coach Smiley that I like. I'm not saying that he is like the end-all, be-all of special teams coaches, but I think for me, when you look at the narrative of, Dennison and McDermott fired him. And then we got Dable and Dable fired him. And, you know, it's Leslie Frazier and Dable fired him. Now he's fired Ken Dorsey. And if he fires coach, he fired a special teams coach after 13 seconds. I forget the guy's name. And then, and now if he fires, if he fires Coach Smiley, then it just turns into, to me, that just brings the McDermott haters, like, grab your torch and pitchfork. Right. I mean, I feel like there's got to be a change there. I honestly feel like there's some deep, but I don't know that it's just special teams. I said this last week on my show, last week or 2 weeks on my show, and Trish, who runs the Overreaction social media stuff, pulled it out in the video. And it was just like, at some point in time, since Coach McDermott took over the defense, the details have very much been missing. The details have gotten way finer on the defense, right? Like the defense is playing out of its mind with a bunch of guys that are not ready for prime time. These are not all pro level players who we've lost. Meanwhile, the fine details, and Coach talked about it in his presser today, the fine details on offense and the fine details on special teams have very much kind of gone bye-bye. Very, very much like the things that he pays attention to has kind of gone out the window a little bit. And I just feel like if we make a change on special teams, it's needed, but I feel like there's going to be a storm early until it's proven that, like, oh, yeah, maybe a change was needed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
For sure. No, for right. Sure. But to your point about how, you know, because I've actually heard this elsewhere where somebody says, yeah, well, he fired Daboll, then he fired. Well, obviously, Daboll didn't get fired. He was hired into a head coaching position.
Neither did Leslie.
We don't know what happened with Leslie Frazier. Like,
well,
he says publicly, he said it was something that he needed to do and walk away from the game. And it wasn't that he was fired. So we hear all of this stuff. Who knows? Like, so to me, I feel like as a head coach that's been successful, when you look at, again, Bills fans, I'm sorry, we haven't won a Super Bowl. Don't beat up the messenger here, but he's still one of the most successful coaches in the league since he took over the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills have turned around. We were the laughingstock of the NFL. Players used to call it the NFL Siberia. People didn't even want to come to Buffalo. You had to over. Yeah. You remember that contract from Mike Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, not Mike, Mario Williams.
Mario Williams, yeah, $100 million.
You know why you had to pay him that? Because nobody wanted to come to Buffalo.
That's right.
So, you know, you got to overpay. You had to do all this stuff. Now you got guys wanting to come there and pay for less because Josh.
For $1 million. Like, I'll go there for $1 million. It's Leonard Fournette. Or not Leonard Fournette. Floyd. Leonard Floyd is one of those guys. Like, the amount of Puna Ford is one of those guys. There's a bunch of guys that have come here to effectively pay
last
for less money.
Lil Durdy has some candy for it, man.
Right. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. So let's talk about pressers because Wednesday is always presser day. And Sean McDermott did talk about energy, and other players were asked about energy today. Energy is an interesting word because you feel like these guys get up the same way every game, right? You feel like it's just there. If, like you and I have talked, I think in the past, if we were playing professional sports, I don't think it'd be hard for me to get up for a game. It's just weird to me that energy, I don't know, even as we talked about it earlier, but yeah.
I mean, do you think that at this point people are just used to it? I don't know how you can, like, cause I don't, you know, it amazes me even when I think about music and I think about stuff like that. Like I watch, obviously I'm a big Jay-Z fan or whoever you are. Like when I watch their concerts and I see these people walk in front of, you know, 100,000 people at a time at these music festivals. And it's like, you're walking in front of 100,000 people and they all know your lyrics. Like, I don't know how it gets old to some people, but apparently it does. And to me, stuff like that, I couldn't. So waking up every Sunday to play football in front of 70,000 people in my hometown, I don't know if I could get bored with that.
Yeah. So news flash for everybody in the chat. And if this is TMI, I apologize, but Spence and I are both musicians, and I've been a borderline professional musician most of my life. And even at the point now at 50 years old, I still play pretty regularly. And I'll be honest with you, to your point, the lead up, the preparation, the expectation, the Thursday before the Friday, all that stuff. I was gonna say Saturday, Sunday because of like the game, but like the Thursday to Friday is stressful. I hate it. I don't want to do it. There's no part of it that I enjoy at 50 years old and like 20 something years or 30 years of having done this stuff. When I'm on stage, everything changes. And when it's over, it's a man, I can't wait to do that again. And then it's a rinse and repeat. Then it's like preparation time. I don't want to do this. I don't want to learn these songs. I don't want to practice. I don't want to rehearse.
Shout out to my man Daryl. But see, Daryl says if it depends. If you play since childhood, it's different. But I think you and I are saying from the opposite perspective. Like, yeah, the work, the practice.
That sucks.
But, man, when the lights come on, man.
Let's go.
Let's go, man. The season is here every Sunday. Come on.
Right. That's exactly this. That's exactly it. Like, I get the Wednesday to Friday stuff. Like, I don't want to do that stuff. But on Sunday, when the lights come, when you're coming out of the tunnel and the crowd's cheering, I mean, come on. Right?
That's the way I see it, which is another reason why when I know the type of guy Josh is. Mm-hmm. So, like, it doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is, who the coach is. To me, I would just assume, which obviously you know what they say about assumptions, but I would have just assumed that every Sunday Josh would be on fire the way we saw him this past Sunday.
Yeah,
because that's who Josh is. But for some reason, something was missing. But yeah,
you've got something that you wanted to talk about with Coach McDermott, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Well, I already brought it up when I was talking about how he was kind of being negative. Maybe I was looking at it more negatively when he said that. You know, you have to earn to have fun. And it's like, no, like I look at that like it's football. Like, go have fun. Think about, you know, like it's a business. I get it. You're getting paid a lot of money, but don't have these guys out here. That was part of the problem with the Patriot way. Mm. Everybody that ends up leaving there always talks about how, you know, especially now that they're not winning. No Tom Brady. You don't have the best quarterback of all time. So now you're not winning and you expect these people to come in there and work like robots? No, man.
I took that statement a little different, and whatchamacallit, Ed Oliver was asked about it as well. I took it as like you have to do the work, you have to earn the opportunity to have fun in game, right? Because if you're not winning, it's not fun. If you're losing, it's not fun. If you're getting punched in the mouth, it's not fun. If you're getting owned on offense or defense, it's not fun. Go ahead.
And that's why I said I probably took that out of context. Like, you know, I didn't take the whole thing and say it, but to me, that statement. You know, when you say that, and I don't care if it's a whole, and then I see you, John, we're going to throw your comment up here next.
Yep.
But when you sit here and say on any level, like you got to earn your, it's football, man. Like, because I feel like once you start putting those different levels of expectations on things that are supposed to be fun, they become less fun. When, you know, all day, I could sit here all day and want to watch game film because I love the NFL. The moment you tell me, no, it's a job, this is your requirement, this is how many hours you have to put in per day, and this is the type of content I need back, or this is the results that I need from you for each film that you break down. Then it becomes a little less fun because I don't have the freedom to do things the way I feel to do it. Or I don't. So I'm just saying, like, it just like don't take the fun away from these guys. And my man John in the comments says energy, special teams, motion. Pick up at corner. I'm sorry. Let Josh be Josh. Call the game to your player's strength. And Sean, go back to the details. I agree with all of this. I just think that last point, I think 7 is going to be tough because Sean's details right now are focused on defense. What do you think about that, Joe?
No, and he followed that up with, these are my why we can turn it around. 100%. it's a point that I have made. You've probably talked about it. You just did. I'm not sure enough people are talking about those fine point details and who is in control of it before, who sets the tone, who sets the culture, who sets the attitude about the details, the minutiae. The head coach does, right? And I don't think it's wrong to say that he's been distracted by having to coach the defense. That's not wrong to say, oh, that's a horrible thing to say that he's been distracted. No. That's, he chose that. Like, so he's now coaching the defense, calling the plays and firmly, I'm going to say, in bed with the defense, which puts it in a situation where maybe he doesn't have the opportunity to spend. It's when you're in a meeting. We've all been in that meeting where we've got our own work and all the things that we're responsible for and the initiative and agendas that we have. And then we get called into the ancillary meeting that kind of sort of just, you know, intersects with something that we have to be a part of, maybe affects our team a little bit. And you're sitting there and you're responding to emails and you're not even freaking paying attention, right? We've all been there. I mean, that's and that's all I'm saying. There's just an aspect of like, maybe he's in the special teams meetings and he's thinking about what's going to happen on 3rd and 4. Maybe he's in the offensive meetings and he's thinking about, right, you know what I mean, what he's going to do on 1st and 10 from the 40. I feel I'm not sure that it's possible, which I think is what you said. I'm not sure that it's possible for him to be completely all in on the details. I think he needs those guys. I think he needs Smiley, and I think he needs Brady to be all in on the details. And hopefully Brady's up to the challenge. Ed Oliver was asked about that energy piece and having the right to be have fun, and they were just talking about it as far as just the celebrations and stuff like that is kind of what they were talking. And he agreed. It was funny. There was a fun moment in the Ed Oliver interview. They had asked him a series of questions about the Eagles, and like then finally another question came, and he's like, when are we going to talk about us? Which you've done to me. Like, you've gotten to the point with me where it's like, our team is good. When are we going to talk about what they have to do to beat us instead of us always talking about what we have to do to beat them? And so it was literally just took me right back to you when Ed Oliver, what are we going to talk about us? I was like, oh.
What are we going to talk about us? I love Ed, man. And I had to apologize on it. Well, I had to apologize to him because I wasn't sold when we gave him that extension. I felt like it was a lot of money for the type of production that he had put out previously. And I tell you what, man, he made a fool out of me this season. He's balling. That dude is he's balling.
Yeah, it's he made the statement that you know, he's gonna outperform his contract even before he plays. Like, and it's right. That dude is playing really, really well. It's a shame. I said it to Fiend, it's a shame we're never gonna see probably Leonard Floyd, a healthy Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, and a healthy Von Miller together because that would just be
filthy.
Stupid,
filthy, man.
Been absolutely stupid. So,
like, I could still only imagine, like, at the beginning of the season, our 53 man. I know Von wasn't back yet, but you add Von, you have Matt Milano, we had Trey, we had, you know, it's like just the Daquan Jones was playing at a,
all pro level. Real quick, real super quick, just the because we do it every week. Excuse me, the injury report for this week. Josh Allen was a full participant with a right shoulder. Micah Hyde, neck stinger limited. Dane Jackson did not participate. Taron Johnson did not participate. Cam Lewis was limited. Taylor Rapp did not participate. Trent Sherfield full and Dorian Williams full. And I think the hardest part about that whole thing was just seeing Rapp and Taron Johnson get hurt on the same freaking play. It's like all of these injuries are happening to us and they are all building up. And then like the final shot is like two of our safeties in the same play. And it was, I was texting you because I was like, what is happening? Because from where I was sitting, I couldn't see. I saw Taron Johnson go down, and then I saw a guy run off the field. Then the ambulance came out, and then I think it was you. You were like, oh, Taron Johnson ran off the field. I was like, well, then who the heck are they picking up in the ambulance? Like, what is happening, right? Like, I didn't even realize that Taylor Rapp got hurt.
And can we stop showing Damar Hamlin every time something happens, man? Yeah. It is the most annoying, obnoxious. Like, come on, man. Let that dude heal and live his life at this point, man. Like, it's an amazing thing that he's even back. He's not asking for this opportunity to have cameras in his face all week and all this stuff. Like, it's just rude.
Right. And 1,000 of us collectively all at the same time basically tweeted, if we never have to see another ambulance in the field again, it'll be too soon. But yeah, it's between that and the Damar Hamlin. Yeah, the Damar Hamlin thing. It's like, just stop. It's just not great. Just let it go. So let's transition real quick to this Eagles game, and then we'll go ahead and get up on out of here. Does that work for you?
Yeah, it works for me.
Awesome. So what do you got leading into this week? Because this is going to be, I think, probably the toughest. We've beaten the Chiefs, right? The Cowboys, I never believe in the Cowboys. We've beaten the Dolphins. This, to me, is the, if we come out of this one.
See, to me, and I know they just beat the Chiefs, but I still look at the Chiefs as the far superior opponent. Like I don't think that the Eagles are a great football team. I think they're 9-1 because they had a lot of good bounces go their way this season. Mm-hmm. I think they had a lot of things happen that just you need moments like this to happen for you to win. And that's what they're doing. So I'm not saying that in no way am I disrespecting the Eagles. I like the Eagles a lot, but I don't think Jalen Hurts is, I don't know how he's MVP candidate. If you compare his stats to Jordan Love's, they're pretty much the same. If you compare his stats to, so my point is, he's winning because they have a good run defense and then a lot of things, a lot of bounces go their way. It's not that he's out here with MVP numbers. He doesn't have 28-30 touchdowns at this point of the season. He doesn't have, you know, so I don't understand that, the MVP conversation on him. Again, it's no hate. I love the guy. I love AJ Brown. I think that dude is the best wide receiver in football this season. He's incredible. He's incredible. The catches that this guy's, I don't know if the catches that this dude has made, man, like on a difficulty scale, when you're talking like 1 to 10, he's made like 5 this season that's been on like 24, off the scale, just ridiculous. So I love what the Eagles are doing. I just think Jalen Hurts really needs to grow a little bit more before I'm saying he's MVP or he's that quarterback.
Yeah, he's
But the team is winning. The team is winning. So Jerry Ostrowski, he kind of just made that point. He said, winners win, Spence. He doesn't make all the plays, but he makes the ones he has to have. So I agree exactly with what he's saying. But as me going into this game as a Bills fan and looking at the things that the Bills need to do, I think the Bills have everything they need in order to win this game. The question is, what version of the offense are we going to see? Because defensively, again, I'm not mad at the defense, even with the injuries. It's what the offense and special teams are going to do for me.
I would break this down the way that you just kind of did. So from a defensive standpoint, I've spent a lot of time this year and even last year of worrying about wide receivers. And time again, the Buffalo Bills do a very good job of maybe not shutting down, but at least limiting wide receivers, good wide receivers, to the point where it doesn't hurt the Bills, right, to the point of losing a game. So A.J. Brown is a concern, but not overly concerned. I'm not concerned about their run game. You know, I like DeAndre Swift, but I'm not necessarily concerned because what we've seen from this defense, offensively speaking, you know, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what we're going to get. I feel like this is a team that we could potentially move the ball and execute against. The question is what plays we're going to get. Joe Brady called a lot of plays in this last game against the Jets that we have not seen ever called again, like against anybody. So there's plays out there to be made. There's plays out there to be called. I agree with everything that you pretty much said. My expectation is, you know, the Bills will play to their level because that's kind of what the Bills generally do, play to the level of their opponent. Where we're going to come out, win, loss, I really can't project. To your point about Jalen Hurts, can a guy win the MVP just because he didn't hurt his team? Because
that sounds so bad.
But that's what it feels like. It feels like
it does.
This guy did enough, to Jerry's point. He made the throws when he needed to make them, right? So he executed when he needed to, and he didn't hurt his team.
That tush push play is unstoppable. So he's going to get a touchdown every week if he wants to, just by doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I every time I see it, I'm like, what is happening? Like, if you watched it against the Chiefs, there was a moment where the Chiefs, like when they dove in, like they like pushed, they picked all the defenders up and like pushed them backwards and just shoved them all back. I was like, what is going on under that pile? Like, I want to know.
It's crazy.
They need a GoPro down there so we can figure out what the heck is happening. Obviously they wouldn't want one because then teams would figure it out. At some point, somebody's going to figure it out. I'm not expecting the Buffalo Bills to figure it out. Ed Oliver was asked about this in particular. And he said that, you know, the last thing we need, paraphrasing, the last thing we need to do is be the team that figures it out or tries to figure it out. At the end of the day, we want to put them in a situation where they never need to use it. We don't want them ever to be in a third and one or a fourth and one. So, like,
that's that talk.
Yeah.
That's that talk right there. I like. Don't talk about stopping it. Talk about not letting them get to the place to do it. I love Ed. You know what? I'm going to find Ed's contact information, man. I got to get in touch with my guy.
That's amazing. All right. So, I think it's that time of the show.
Uh-oh, I wasn't ready.
Third down.
So y'all know when y'all hear the horns like that, it's third down. That means we want y'all in the comments to give us your score predictions, your stat line for Josh Allen. This one was tough for me. By hump day, I already have pregame rumblings done. Like I have my score, all of that. I have not even touched it. So the way that the Bills played Sunday and then the way that the Eagles played Monday, the combination of both, I'm just like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. So I'm going to start with you, and I might steal something that you say.
You start with me. I haven't overly thought about it either. I mean, I've got some conversations in my mind going on, and very much what I don't know what to expect. So calling back everything we've talked about, I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel like what happened Sunday, and this is all things that I've said already this week, I feel like the Bills took a step. It's not a matter of, well, we got back on the wagon and we're good to go. Like, when you're that far off the rails, sometimes you got to get on one rail before you can get on both rails. They did it against a very good defense in the Jets. We know that the Eagles are also a very good defense. So I feel like the offense can execute. I feel like the offense can do things that they need to do. So can the defense do what they need to do against the defense an opposing team's offense that presents challenges in much better talent? Every time I have ever predicted any type of a high scoring, highfalutin 47 to 45, 40 to 37, 37 to 35 game, it turns out to be the under. Right. So I don't. And that kind of comes into what you said of, like, I don't know what to necessarily think of this game. I feel like for that reason, I'm going to flip and say this is probably going to be a low scoring game. It's 425 game, I think, again, right? Isn't it on 425? So to be under the lights for most of the game, it's probably going to be chilly out there in Philadelphia, even though people think it only gets cold in Buffalo. And I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to take the Bills because we have seen, and I'm going to wear the Corey Bojorquez jersey this weekend. I'm going to put it on Twitter.
Wear the boho.
The boho's coming back. It's coming out of retirement. But we've seen this team string wins together at the end of the season. Not once, but twice, if not three times. Like, this is something this team has the ability to do. But I'm probably in that 24-21, right? 21-17, one score game. Very tight. Probably comes down to the last drive, whether it's a last drive to go up or a last drive to basically end the game, meaning hold them, which the Bills have done several times this year. So I'm probably in that 24-21. Josh Allen's stat line for me. I don't know that it's going to be great. I don't know that it's going to be bad. So give me medium numbers, 240, 245, touchdown, one rushing. Okay. That's where I'm at.
Okay. And I'm looking on my phone right now. So you, the score you gave, the over under is set at 48.5. Yep, so you're taking the under. You're taking the under. And then what did you say for the Josh Allen passing yards?
240 with one rushing and one passing touchdown.
Okay. So the over under for his passing yards are set at 257.5. So you're taking the over on both. So
under.
Yeah, the under on both. So for me, I think I'm going to have to – I'm going to go the opposite way then, just to play devil's advocate here. Like, I'm hopeful, optimistically hopeful, like I said earlier, that Joe Brady's offense that we've seen is what we're going to see for the remainder of season. If we play offense like that, I think we could beat every team on the schedule. We've already beat the Dolphins. It'll be tough to do it again, but I think we can do it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm not scared of – I think the Cowboys have the best offense that we're going to see this season. Well, Miami, but I mean, I think the Cowboys are really like that on offense. They just always lose the biggest moments. But I'm more nervous about their offense when it comes to our defense than really anybody else's on the schedule. The Chiefs aren't the Chiefs that we've seen every year. Like, they actually have a good running game and they play very good defense this year. Yes. It's not the Patrick Mahomes show that everybody would think. So I'm not as scared of the Chiefs. I'm not scared of the Dolphins because it's the Dolphins. We play them every year. I'm not scared of it's really. It's really, what are we going to do? It's more, I'm more nervous about what team for the Buffalo Bills will show up on every Sunday versus what anybody else has to do when they show up to play us.
If the Buffalo Bills have lost 10 games in the last 2-3 years, they've probably lost 10 games in the last 3 years, 12 games in the last 3 years. How many of them are games where the Bills have been beaten? So the Bengals game, playoffs. Versus where the Bills have beaten themselves. So what you're saying is it 100% tracks. Which Bills team is going to show up, and are they going to beat themselves or are they going to get beat? Generally, the Bills don't get beat.
They don't. When they lose the game, it's because of a ton of mistakes or it's because of a ton of mental errors or just lapse in judgment at moments when you know, like, come on, Josh, that's not even – like, you knew that wasn't the play to make. Like, you knew it.
Yep.
No moments happened, and then, you know, that for me. So – I'm gonna take the over on both, man. I think both teams are gonna be able to score a little bit, but I think our defense is better. I think that we'll again, it's just the offense. Because the five games that we've lost, man, we weren't blown out in any of those games. We were in a position to win them each time. So yeah, no, I'm gonna go I don't even want to say this publicly. I'm gonna say this one and be close, man. I'm gonna go 28-24. I'm going to go 28-24.
So you're just over the over. Just over the over. So you're not talking high scoring game.
No, but I'm still going to take the over, and I'm going to say Josh will have what did I say is over was 257.5. I'm going to go
256.
I'm going to go 3. He's going to hit 3 because I think it's going to be that type of game. You're not going to be able to run against them. This run defense, James Cook will have to get his yards when he can, but I'm telling you right now, if you haven't watched the Eagles for real besides that Chiefs game, go back and kind of just watch what you can. They have one of the best run, if not the best run defense in the entire league. This is going to be a hard game for James Cook to get the – so I see John in the comments say Bills are going to rush for 150. I don't think so, bro. Man, I think
it's going to be closer. For 300?
Yeah, no, I think Josh is going to hit them yards. But the rushing, I don't see.
John, if this happens, the Bills aren't scoring 27 or 24.
They're easy.
35 or 40 if this happens. Easy. Like, I mean, yeah, it's that score is going to be way higher than that. But it's Thanksgiving Eve. You all have heard our stat line prediction and our score prediction for this weekend. We're hopeful that the Buffalo Bills are going to be able to pull this out and continue the winning streak to get us to the playoffs, which is obviously the goal at this point. Yeah, super thankful for you, my friend. I know this has been a weird year for you, for us, because of my work schedule and my travel schedule. But just thankful for your patience with me, as well as your just willingness to kind of work around just the craziness that is my life right now. I appreciate all the fans and all the people that watch this show and the fan, we're fans, right? We're not professionals at this, so we're one of them. Absolutely. So the fact that we all connect, and it's great to see John and Elliot and Daryl and like all these people that are just in the room, like that have kind of been around since the beginning. It's funny that those three guys are here because they've kind of been around since the beginning, which is really, really fun.
And Rich Rush and
Rich Rush. Yep. Yep.
There's so many of them that have just been there. So we appreciate y'all, man. I'm grateful. What is this? 3 years running now? Longer than that.
19, 20. This is the fourth year.
4 years running. So, you know, man, I'm grateful for it, man. And a lot of good opportunities have come my way because of it. The partnership that I have with DraftKings now and the relationship that we have with Fichte, Endel, and Elmer and Picasso's. And then not even just business-wise, but just the friendships and the people that you connect with, man. It's been an awesome time to be a fan of the Bills, and agreed. Hope we got another year of this, man. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Hopefully the Bills keep it fun so we can have fun. Because
keep it fun, because it's not fun when we lose, man.
I tweeted that as well. Hey, it was great to do a fun show again. Like, because I can have fun in a loss, right, when there's three of them or four of them, and like we're talking, but it's like when it's just the same old crap over and over and over again, it gets unfun fast. But yes, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Richard Rush. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline, brought to you by Fichte, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show, for joining us. We appreciate you as always. It's Thanksgiving. Never forget, you live in the greatest country in the world, right? So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you've got a lot to be thankful for just for being in this place. Any last words?
Go Bills.
Go Bills.